Yeah, let's do it.
Here we go. All right. Hello and welcome to episode 13, lucky episode 13 of the Provisional Nerf News Network podcast. I'm KT. I'm here with Vile Mods and JoltKing627. Say what's up, y'all.
How's
what
it going?
Up?
We are excited to chat about some stuff. As usual, we will have our brief review of things, the one thing that didn't wind up making the show. We're going to talk a bit about new products from Dart Zone and X-Shot. There's a lot of stuff. As always, we'll play What's That Blaster with Vile Mods picking the blaster this time around. We're going to talk a little bit about HPA and its place in our hobby now that we seem to have some off-the-shelf products that may be coming in that realm. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on with Reddit and our Nerf and what effect that's having on the hobby. And at the end, we'll have our little fun round robin question. As always, a reminder that this podcast is a partner, as always. I've forgotten to do it like half the recent episodes. But this podcast is a partner to episode 13 of the Provisional Nerf News Network. You certainly can listen to the podcast without watching the episode, but we often will assume that you've seen some things that we talked about on the show. So it might make more sense to watch the episode first. Which is always funny to say because I am not done editing it. So the thing I'm telling you to watch as I say this does not exist, but by the time you hear it, it will. But that's all of that. So kicking it right off, I like to start off by going over stories that didn't wind up making the show for one reason or another. Sometimes stuff hasn't fully formed, or we have to cut it for time one reason or another. And in this case, we have a story that dropped literally today, like
only a few hours just before, ago.
Yeah. Just before this, I was at band rehearsal, and that's when I got a message about it. And like, I was like, oh, huh, okay. And it is a video that came out from Coop772, extremely well-known, probably the most well-known Nerf hobby creator, just in terms of like subscriber count and view count. And he's selling, I haven't looked at it. So he's selling just like...
I did the other
tons of stuff, right?
Oh yeah, it was a lot. So it's a bunch of per the video, he said it was something like all of his Nerf stuff, but it was audio gear, there was camera gear, just a ton of things, even relatively new blasters too, like the Unicorn was in it, and his
Wait,
worker
what?
Harrier. Yeah, his Unicorn was in there.
His Harrier was in there too? Yeah. Is he just selling everything?
Yeah, it was a lot of stuff. Even his original Straven was in there, like his old school OG. So I went through it. It was a lot. And I know in the video he did state that he's going to have a companion video. It's going to explain it a little bit better. He said he's moving, and that's about all we know.
Okay.
Because I was kind of taken back, but I was like, wow, he really is getting rid of some stuff. So
yeah, it's very interesting. So ultimately, the reason that we did not do the story, aside from the fact that it's like we're at the filming deadline, and we have recorded stories at the very last second and worked them into the show to make sure they're included, but he's going to put his video out. The timing is very weird, right? Today is Thursday. He put his video out today saying he's selling stuff. Tomorrow is his video that will explain things, and it comes out like the same day as our episode. And so we were like, you know what, let's just wait and see what it is, and maybe it'll go in the next episode. So that's why. So if you watched our episode and you're like, why didn't you cover the biggest news? Because it's literally simultaneous with the news show. So we were just like, let's leave it be. Let's see what's up with Coop, and we'll see if it's something that we feel like we need to cover. So it is interesting to think about in terms of the last time that we talked about Coop, which was when he made that video, or not a, was it? It was a community post.
It was the
where
shift.
He was like, I'm going to change the concept of my channel.
Yeah.
And after that, he did that one. I actually really liked that video he did that was like the fake like tournament between the different play styles.
It was a good sequel to the original
ones
that he had done.
It was fun.
I remember watching those when I was first getting into the hobby, and it was
totally
mildly entertaining.
Yeah. So anyway, it is interesting. And we'll see what's going on with that. But that's the only thing that was reported to us that did not wind up making the show. Unless something else gets reported to us tomorrow morning, which will not make the show either because the show will already be uploaded. Past that, let's get into our first real topic. It is almost summer, and or is it technically summer?
I guess it's technically summer.
Yeah, it is technically summer, and summer is the one of the two biggest times for new releases, and you know, we're seeing a lot from Hasbro, and we're seeing a lot of hobby and community stuff, which doesn't really tend to follow the same schedule, but I feel like Dart Zone and X-Shot are hitting it extra hard this year.
Yeah.
And last episode, we got hit with the Dart Zone Outlaw as a leak, but like simultaneously as the episode was coming out, the blaster itself was actually revealed through a series of videos, both from Dart Zone and from community members. And then they also showed us the Thunderbolt at the same time, which is a Flywheeler successor. I think it's really interesting, actually, that they... We can talk about the Omnia Pro later. But I think it's really interesting that they're billing the Thunderbolt really as... specifically as a successor to the...
The Spectrum.
Spectrum, thank you. I always do that. I think it's really interesting that they're specifically billing it as a successor to the Spectrum. Like, because so many people talked about the Spectrum as the Strife Killer, and people are talking about the Thunderbolt as the Strife Killer, and that to me feels really funny because like
the Thunderbolt is a much better Strife Killer, quote unquote, than the Spectrum is, just because of the form factor, the features. It seems like a solid blaster. It looks like it has a much more comfortable foregrip, nicer barrel, better stock point.
And strike lug, the exactly. Attachment. Yeah, it because that was the one thing that was the problem with, you know, the Spectrum was that it didn't, you know, we had to get 3D printed parts to kind of get there. But this one,
like my Spectrum is thrifted and it did not have the stock with it.
So right, which means you just don't have a stock.
I janked a Raider stock onto it. Worked pretty well, but it's not removable.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I already think the term, people love to like say that because it gets clicks when you say that something is a Strife Killer, because you have people in the hobby who consider the Strife, like there have been so many Strife mods because it's so moddable and it used to be so available. It is not, like you can go on Amazon and buy a Strife, but they're more expensive. You don't see them in stores. Like they're not as ubiquitous as they were at a certain point in the hobby where it was like the easiest way to do a modded flywheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's kind of like if you're going to mod a Strife, you're going to wind up spending as much money as you would on like a Dart Zone Pro Mark III, which might be a better option for you, especially if you're not like comfortable doing all the soldering and stuff. If you are a casual player, there's really no difference between owning a Strife and like a Halo rifle or any other Strifeoid blaster. Like if you're not someone who's going to mod it, the Strife is not actually like a great stock blaster. It's
incredibly crappy stock blaster.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But it's a good set of bones and a good form factor to build upon. So
it's aesthetically ugly, though, is my main complaint with it. The whole thing, it's asymmetrical. The front end is gross.
I would generally agree with you. Yeah, it's not my aesthetic. Like I have a couple modded Strifes, but it was really just for the experience.
The ones that I have, I like because one of them I changed the front end, and the other I made a Springer for the walls.
I mean, when you really look at it, Strife was kind of like blazing a trail at the time, and you know, it was a very small form factor flywheeler. You know, magazine fed, multiple attachments. People just kind of went crazy. It was, and like you said, it's kind of a good bones to start with for anything. That's where you have Strifle kits and Stravens and integration fodder and tons of just simple builds. It was good to start with, but now there's so many more options. And like between the Spectrum and even the Thunderbolt that's coming out, they hit higher FPS anyway.
Right.
You know, they're because they have extra two batteries, right? Aren't they six double A's?
Yes, yep, they are six double A's.
The Thunderbolt seems to be literally the same setup as the Spectrum, just with like, you know, now they figured out that they can do it's a better shell. It has the stock mount that actually works with things you already have. And doesn't it come with that with a stock that also is a buffer tube. Is it the Thunderbolt that comes with that?
I'm not sure.
It might have been.
Now I got to look it up. Because that alone, I just want to make sure that it's not the Omnia that comes with that, but I'm pretty sure.
I know the Omnia does come with one of those. They've done a few of these now.
Oh, no. I'm looking at it. It totally would appear to come with exactly that. And, like, honestly, that accessory alone, just the end strike to buffer tube adapter, is like already like a thing you would go out of your way to buy for your Nerf
Worker
blaster.
Has one somewhere.
Yeah. And this just comes with it, which seems like such a no brainer. Like, why didn't the Spectrum come with a stock that went to buffer tube? It came with a stock that went to some weird thing. It came from a weird thing and went to something else weird, and it wasn't compatible with anything else.
Well, like, actually, this is the back end. It was. The stock that went on the Spectrum was also compatible with the Villainator, and vice versa.
Oh, that's true. It was. They were like trying to make their own.
Yeah, but
their
this
own
is,
system at the time.
Looking at it, this is basically like what's on the Striker or the Nexus or whatever, which takes standard buffer tube, you know, stock attachments. And that is such a better selling point to me, because it really just keeps, it opens up the option to just tons of stuff out there. And if people already bought, you know, a Nexus or Striker or whatever, and they have these attachments, that just gives them something they can quickly slap on there. And they've already, you know, there's no proprietary side to it.
And the thing that makes so much sense about a product like this, which I think they kind of learned from the Mark III, right? Where you can buy a Mark III and not know anything and just throw AA batteries in it and everything is there and you can just play with it. But if you know a little bit more, they've planned ahead for you, right? It's the same situation here where...
Well, you kind of can, and you also kind of can't. The Mark III has shown to have some issues with the rev trigger where the switch will actually burn out.
Well, I know, but I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the design concept of it where like it does let you go a little bit. It theoretically at least lets you go a little bit farther. And maybe, I mean, I don't think that this is going to have a spot to put on a LiPo like the Mark III did. But if you, like, this can appeal to a hobbyist modder, but it also, if a casual person buys it, everything works. It's compatible with other things. It can grow with them. That's something I'm really into when I'm recommending products, especially to parents, is a product like this I can really recommend, because I can say, like, yo, your kid can take this out of the box. It's going to be, like, better enough than, like, their friend's Strife that it's impressive, but not so much better that they're just going to trounce every other kid on the field. But importantly, it'll grow with them. If they keep it, and in a couple years they're like, oh, I want to start modding, this should be moddable.
Yeah.
And by then there'll be like kits and stuff for it, you know? So I think that's really, really important personally.
No, I think you're right. I think that's a really good point to make is the ability for it to grow with the user.
We do now know actual factual things about the Outlaw. And it's so funny because we were like making the last episode and just guessing or like looking, like squinting at the box picture. And then immediately we just knew everything about the blaster. We saw the insides, like it all came together super fast.
Yeah, it was a interesting, the like metal internals, the metal, you know, like double, what was it, like a double wishbone, like type of folding, you know, hammer on it and stuff. It was like really impressive. I was like, I would have never thought that that's what was inside of it.
Totally.
Yeah, it's wild. It's a good design. I may not be a fan of how weird reaching the hammer looks to be, but otherwise, like, I would say my opinion has come around on the blaster. I think that especially with the lower power spring, this could be good for HBZ, because where you don't necessarily need that full performance, if you get that lower power spring, that 90 FPS or whatever it gets is a lot better than the hammer shot, that's for darn sure.
Oh yeah, so, right out of the box, that's great.
With swappable cylinders, I think that's pretty solid.
This is definitely in the range of
still, but like,
I think good. I do. I want to give this a shot. I've always wanted, like, I definitely tinkered with hammer shots and like tried to build a better one. never was super happy with the results of the different things that I tried. I tried the Gavin Fuzzy cylinders, and I tried to, like, power it up, and I, like, attempted to do some of the stuff that Radioactive does, and I just never got it kind of, like, really working the way I wanted.
My stance on the hammer shot is, unless you are Radioactive, you are never going to get one to perform.
That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like sometimes.
I have tried. I've gotten close, granted. I've gotten up to, I think I've kissed 90, but it's still not... It's a good platform, don't get me wrong. For, like, stock performance, you can't go wrong with one. Or really, totally, in my opinion, the Sweet Revenge. We'll get back to that later. But for modding, it looks like, if you really want the performance, this new Dart Zone Blaster, it just blows the hammer shot out of the water.
You know what I'm really happy about, too? I'm actually really glad that it's a six-shooter, because a lot of HVZs will start you with, like, six-round capacity.
Plus, so the five-round thing they did with the hammer shot and Sweet Revenge was always weird to me. I don't know why.
It was a weird number. It is a weird number. Although it does allow the TMNT Inc. to have two darts per... Wait. No, wait. It has 10 darts. Wait, what is the color layout? Are there two green ones?
Yeah,
they're like... It's weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It was strange.
I don't know. That's a digression. We don't need to get into that. That's fine. I love Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles as much as the next guy, but I don't care about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I just care that the Sweet Revenge is back on the market.
I am excited for the Sweet Revenge, and I am probably going to get one of those, and it's probably going to stay in its box and go on my shelf just because I think it looks really cool.
It actually is a cool box.
But I'm glad that it's accessible to people again. $15 is a really good price for that.
So can we just comment on the fact that Nerf has just blatantly copied X-Shot skins?
That is
true.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that when we talk about X-Shot. I think that's worth talking about when we talk about X-Shot. Yeah. But I still wanted to cover... So the one other thing I wanted to talk about with the Outlaw, with the Dart Zone Outlaw, is this marks a few times that they've come out with an Adventure Force line product that was interesting but had some real issues, and then soon after came with a Target-exclusive version of the same product that was just pretty much better across the board. First one in my book would be the Nexus Pro, coming out again as the Max Striker, which is just a better version of the Nexus Pro, in my opinion. This also happened with the Conquest, coming back out as the Dictator.
I wouldn't say obviously the Dictator is any better than the Conquest. It's a good blaster, it's just different.
I mean, we've talked on this podcast about, like, weird feed issues with the Conquest that happen less with the Dictator.
My Conquests have always fed fine.
Okay, well, anyway, I still would look at the two and think of the Dictator as a refinement. But
fair.
That it is fair to disagree with that. But this does seem like very, very clearly... Even just based on the reviews I've seen, the in-hand reviews I've seen so far, an improvement on the Deuce. It's certainly an improvement on the name.
Well, name, certainly. I would not agree that it is an improvement on the Deuce, because I believe it is not an upgrade, more of a side grade.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, obviously the priming method is a huge shift, but
yeah. Otherwise, I guess it fills the same role, so in that way, it's technically an improvement.
It is definitely, just looking at it and having played with the Deuce a lot, it feels like what I wanted the Deuce to be. It literally, like, checked so many boxes. I wanted the Deuce to be a hammer prime, and it is. I wanted to be able to swap cylinders more easily, and it does. I wanted it to not skip shots randomly, and apparently it doesn't do that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just all the things that a lot of people have said they wanted the Deuce to do.
Yeah, this is kind of like the arguments of the other ones.
I'm more interested in the Deuce than the, what's it called? My brain is just dead today. The new thing.
Outlaw?
Yeah, that. My brain is finally broken. Congratulations.
The thing we're talking about?
Yeah,
fine, I get you.
But personal preference, I think I'd rather have a Deuce. But that's just, I like Slide Prime.
That's fine.
I'd use a Pro Mark II as my sidearm, so.
There's plenty of room to have a preference. But I think that there's a lot of clear functional improvements between the two. Doesn't mean you can't prefer the old one.
Well, like, these are arguments. These are kind of like the arguments between, like, what you were saying between, say, the Nexus versus the Striker, or the Conquest versus the Dictator. The arguments that people had with, like, the Conquest, oh, it doesn't have a stock, it doesn't have this, or whatever. Mm-hmm. The Dictator has a stock, and it had more ammo capacity, and, you know, or the Nexus Pro, some people didn't like its form factor. They hate vertical primes, they hate whatever. Well, here's the Striker. It has now a horizontal prime, and it's, you know, built a little bit differently, and people, right. It's like whatever people were arguing or didn't like about the previous models, they changed in their other variant of it. And
yeah, it's always from Adventure Force to the Max line at Target.
Yeah, weirdly, it's always
Target
that
just
way.
Gets the better ones a couple months later.
But it's kind of like
maybe it's that Walmart subsidizes it or something.
It might
that's
be
true.
Get that out better.
Yeah, it's kind of the thing of whatever you didn't like in this one that you wanted, go to this other competitor over here and we'll make it with them. It's kind of what it sounds like, right?
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, sidestepping entirely the retail market, we have the Omnia Pro as well. And this, like, just dropped midweek.
What was interesting beyond any of the function is that I believe they claim that it's going to be at multiple retailers, which is very interesting for a Pro Blaster, because traditionally, when a Pro Blaster comes out, it's at one retailer.
Yeah.
Okay, hold up. So based on the script that I was editing from the thing, it's being sold direct?
I believe they said that both Target and Walmart were going to have it, didn't they? I'm pretty sure they said
Who did the episode? Wasn't it? Okay, well, now I got to check. I'm pretty sure Grimm did the Omnia.
Grimm's is absent today, so.
Okay, well, my understanding, and I'm a little bit on the back foot of this one because I've been extremely busy with other stuff.
But
my understanding is that it is not retail available. It is direct purchase, and
it's online. Like, I haven't even though.
Yeah, that it's online. Oh, you might be right.
Online,
well, okay.
It is online only. Yes.
To be fair, okay, this is not the first time they've done this. Like the Tomcat.
Here's the notes.
Only.
Here's the notes on the Omnia. Because I'm not watching the podcast right now. All firing modes are electronic rather than mechanical. The included battery is 7.4 volt, 2S lithium ion, not a LiPo.
It's the same
there
one
the battery
as their
arm.
Battery.
It comes with a
charge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's the same as the Nerf one. We don't recommend 3S due to potential strain on the motors. Omnia is compatible. We will have limited distribution in the EU with Blaster Time. Plans to make it available in Canada at some point in the future. It doesn't actually say here. It just says available this fall. We've been setting up quite a few. Yeah, they don't actually say here.
I remember I watched their podcast, so.
Did you actually watch the whole thing? Okay, well.
I think I did. I'm pretty sure.
Anyway, since we don't know, let's talk about the Blaster.
We're the most professional.
This is actually the first time. I just haven't had time, man.
It's been a busy week for all of us.
Hey, KT here, popping in post. I double checked this, and about 7 minutes and 15 seconds into the Dart Zone podcast, they do confirm that it will be for sale online only from their major retailers, including Target and Walmart. It's buried a third of the way into the podcast, but that information is in fact out there. Seems like something that maybe should be in the description, but just so you know, Jolt is correct. It is online only, but it will be available from all of their major retails online. Back to the show. This is, I think, the first time that we've seen an included battery in a minute with
anything.
Well,
here's the fun thing is that this is not the first Dart Zone product to do it. It's the same battery that comes with their Hydro Strike stuff, the little gel ball things.
Oh, there you go.
So that's how they're doing it.
Oh, yeah, well,
it's the same.
A lot of gel stuff is coming with batteries now, and, you know, the Nerf gel
so
stuff.
So it's, I believe, like the Pulsar Pro or whatever it is, I think is the
right.
same battery. So that's how they got the access to that.
Okay.
So it's really smart when you think about it.
Yeah. And it's Select Fire.
Yeah,
like full proper select fire with. I mean,
it's one.
This is the same thing that we were.
It's single shot, three round burst, and full auto, and it's a good full auto too. Not like the Mark III where it was potato speed.
Right. Well, and because we didn't see the true select fire in the Mark III.
I actually think the Mark III select fire is the best select fire to date.
Really?
Because of the because here's the thing. Select fire is cool and all, but especially
the mechanical
on
electrical
like,
switch.
Yeah, the mechanical, there's something better, in my opinion, about a mechanical semi-auto compared to basically, unless you're using a solenoid, in which case, yes, that's great for select fire. Things like the regulator, semi-auto on that was basically useless because of the delay.
Totally. No, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. I mean, we'll see, right? Like, I haven't watched the videos on this, but even in a video, you can't really tell what the delay is like. Like, you can try to watch when the trigger moves and when the dart goes out, but, like, you don't really know until you feel it.
There's no way to know until you actually, like, have one in hand, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, time will tell. Time will tell. But, just in terms of a feature list, the Omnia seems pretty impressive.
Yeah. It's like an injection molded, like, FDL, but less customizable.
Yeah. Now, what we haven't seen yet is we're not getting what we got with the Outlaw, where we just like immediately had reviews popping up because they sent them out in advance. I'm curious to know if that's because they didn't send them out in advance, or
no,
if that's
did.
Just because
they did. To it,
but
I know at least Drac has
yet.
One.
Oh,
you can see parts of it in some bin he showed off on like an Instagram post or something. So
yeah.
Drac has one at least.
Okay. Well, we'll see then. Hopefully we'll be getting reviews for it like this week. I'm sure that the people who have them are going to try and race to get that out. And then maybe we'll know a little bit more. Or maybe not. Who knows?
Hope they send one to Maritime. I want to see those opinions on
it. It was really great to see Maritime get advanced access to the Outlaw.
That was a really good review. Shout out to Maritime Foam for a great review. Yeah. Loved watching
that. I agree. Agreed. So there's lots of stuff from Dart Zone, and we're also starting to see, we've been reporting on a lot of new stuff from X-Shot as well, which is interesting because it feels like it's been multiple years since they've really put out new products. We've talked about this before. Now they suddenly have a bevy of very interesting, actually, I just got a Zuru long shot, and I
you
have not even opened it up yet
because
I need to open it on camera, they have that. They have their first Pro Blaster, and then they also have the Insanity series. And the Skins line, of course, just like a bazillion things coming out all at once. And Joel, you mentioned, we can talk about this for just a second. Nerf is starting to do all of these full side printed blasters, including the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Sweet Revenge. And we just reported on the Mandalorian. It's an old Star Wars blaster. It's Rey's blaster, but it's been rethemed as the Mandalorian by just putting a picture of some Mandalorians on the side.
I think it might be that this is just a new technology as well, because technically I think we've seen Dart Zone use the same printing process on the Jurassic Pro.
I think it's the same one that they used on the Jurassic Pro, yes. And I remember that they were like really hyping it up when it happened. But it seems like even now the X-Shot stuff and the Nerf stuff is covering like the curves of a blaster more than they were able to with the Jurassic Pro at the time. Like,
especially
it seems like
Sweet
it's an emerging
Revenge.
Technology.
Because that's a very round shell.
We should probably actually ask some of the people we know who know more about manufacturing and see if we can get more detail on this. I think you're right. I think that this is a reaction to X-Shot.
Like, to be clear, like, I don't blame them. It's a great idea. It'll let them sell more reskins.
The TMNT1, I think it looks awesome.
People will buy it
a lot. I'm going to have to get one.
I don't even. I don't know anything about Ninja Turtles. Never watched it. I still look at that and I think that looks pretty cool. I almost bought one.
Yeah. God, I'm so old.
Don't worry, I was there when the first Turtles movie came out, and I watched the show.
All right, let's get you back to bed, old man.
Shut it. Look, I'm interested. I like how this stuff is working, and I'm curious if it's something to do with the manufacturing facilities. Maybe they invested in this and they're upselling it to the toy companies like Hasbro and you know, Zuru, because obviously we're seeing it with multiple, you know, companies. Is this, again, it doesn't seem proprietary, as if it's only one. So they're all have some form or access to it in some capacity. So it's just curious to see. I do still like, you know, X-Shot's skins. I think there was one that came out that was, you know, in my color theme. There was another one called like the Enigma, which looked like this cool like Cthulhu one. It looked really neat. And I am curious, kind of like you, where I'm curious what it's taking and how they're actually doing it, because it is a really neat technology. I've got the long shot in hand too. I like the skin on it. I got two of them, so one of them's probably going to get painted. The other one's going to stay.
I think it's really interesting that they chose that their one of their skins blaster is their new Pro Blaster. That they didn't go. That really sets them apart.
Mm-hmm.
From most of the other Pro lines. I mean, you know, Dart Zone had the one purple camo.
Yeah, gold plating.
Nexus Pro and the gold one, but like this, I do feel like really sets apart their Pro Springer, Pump Action Springer Primary in a really interesting way. Unfortunately, it is also set apart by an apparently consistent problem with the plunger tubes cracking.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like this happens in shipping, though, is the big takeaway.
Right.
Is that you find them this way in the store.
Well, it's tough because we don't really have a statistically relevant amount of data. When I found mine, there were like three or four on the shelf, and I did check all of them, and none of them had cracked plunger tubes as far as I could tell. But again, that's still not statistically relevant.
We've seen enough people with cracked plunger tubes that it's very clearly a thing.
That's the thing. Like, we are definitely, the fact that we're hearing about it as much as we are says enough to know that it's a problem, but we don't really have a way of knowing how much of a problem it is. And we also don't know how many people are buying them who are not part of our community or may not even ever notice. They may just think that that's what it's supposed to do, and they don't own a chronograph, so they're not out there, oh, this is getting 20 FPS less than it's supposed to.
So I have a question for you, KT, on this real quick.
Yeah.
When you checked yours, were you able to spin the plunger tubes around to be able to see them? Because a lot of people that I saw, I saw people like being able to spin their plunger tubes around while they were in the box. I couldn't do that. Mine seemed to be like solid in there.
I'll tell you what, YouTube, man the podcast for a second. I'll go grab it and I'll see if I can do it because it's still in the box.
Oh, perfect.
So talk about metal plunger tubes or something. I don't know. I'll be right back.
All right. Perfect. Well,
there are metal plunger tubes already. Actually, that was freaking fast.
Yeah, there's quite a few of them that have popped up. A few vendors, we even see Blaster Time is going to be getting them. That popped up very kind of last minute during editing. So it's not just a, like, only one vendor that, you know, you can get it from. Apparently, it's just everywhere. We have people on Etsy now selling them. We have, you know, again,
Silver Fox.
We saw Silver Fox. Actually, Silver Fox, when we first were doing this, we had just had a little clip of them stating they were going to get it from a Discord. I'm not even sure which one, but then later actually had a listing on their site for it. They didn't have a pricing just yet, but they at least have it already there. So that was a new one, you know, so they started popping up very, very quickly, which is good. Actually, I think Silver Fox was also going to offer a plastic one as well. I think they were testing some polycarb tubing to see if they could get one that's the correct size. I believe that's what their original post on Discord said was it was, they had polycarb on order and they were going to be getting metal tubing or placing the order for metal tubing soon. And this was obviously from this podcast recording. This had been days ago. So obviously we'll hopefully get more data and information on that. Because obviously, you know, some people might want to see their plungers moving and stuff like that. It is kind of neat to actually watch because of the spring in it. Oh, you know, watching it fire. It's really cool. And I'm really surprised. I bought two of them, and one of them has an incredible seal on it. Not perfect. It still slowly leaks air, but it's really, really good. It's better than most of the other blasters I have, like Springer's. And then the other one has a leak in the barrel, and I think it's up at the front. It's hard to plug the barrel by like your finger or whatever, and it's right around that area that it's leaking for me, but it still has also a fairly good seal. And again, I have both. Neither of them have cracked plunger tubes.
All right, kids. So no, I cannot turn the plunger tube in the box. The way that I checked the plunger tube on mine, I carry a little super bright flashlight, and so I bent the box back and looked at the other side, and you can see it pretty clearly if you shine a flashlight back there. And so I haven't been able to see a crack. It could be cracked in the part that you can't see, but as far as I can tell, it's fine. Maybe I'll be able to report more on that once I actually open it up, but maybe, I cannot turn the tube.
And maybe that is something to keep an eye out for. I'm curious if anybody has cracked plunger tubes. Were you able to spin the plunger tube prior to the crack forming, or you noticing the crack? I'm curious. It's just a curiosity. I don't know. Maybe there's no correlation with it, but it is something, because again, the video that I saw where somebody was able to spin it around and they saw the crack. I'm wondering if something has to happen in, like, was it not seated properly? Was it not glued in? Was it not, like, I haven't taken it apart yet, so I don't really know, but right. I'm just curious, you know, maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know.
Okay. That could be something. But, you know, I'm glad, as I'm sure you discussed while I was away, that our community is stepping up. The stores are stepping up and coming up with solutions.
Yeah, I did cover Silver Fox, because they did say they were going to get Polycarb, and I didn't actually say it in my...
Oh, that's cool.
...in my segment, but they said they had it on order. So until they actually get it, the only thing that was the listing was for the metal, and... I think if I remember correctly on the listing, it was about they had it on order for testing it, obviously for size and fitment. Right. So, you know, we'll hopefully in the coming week or so, whenever they get their material and test it out, we'll get some information on that if they're going to have clear plunger tubes to go along with it.
I was going to say, I hope it's clear, because it definitely doesn't look as cool with the metal plunger tube, in my opinion. I definitely like the clear.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Yeah. But regardless, cool blaster. Looking forward to playing with it. Speaking of blasters, it's time to play our favorite game. What's That Blaster is the part of the podcast where we, one member of the team picks an official Nerf blaster and reads the description with slight modifications. And the rest of the team tries to guess what the blaster is just based on that description. If we can guess right away, we can get 4 points, but we can also ask for 3 lifelines, and each one gives us a little hint, such as the year that the blaster was released, the original stock capacity, and the original retail price. For each lifeline used, everyone on the guessing side loses a potential point. Last week, I picked one that was way too easy. Everybody got it, and, the score is now everybody's at 17 except for Jolt, who has 22 points. This week it is Vile's turn to pick, and Vile has a little back stash of of blasters. And so Vile's ready to go, I believe.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready. And this one is this one's going after Jolt specifically for that blow dart gun.
Oh,
one.
Oh, no. All right. Let's go.
All right. Pump action power and a removable blank let you go the distance with the blank blaster. Whether you need maximum mobility or enhanced fire control, you can modify your blaster with this removable shoulder stock and add accessories with the tactical rail system. You can even create one of the most epic blank and blank blaster hybrids yet. The battle is yours to win. That is it.
Okay. Pump action. They're really leaning into the modular stuff. It could be, it could just be early on in the modularity. I feel like the first blank is just a barrel, but
could you repeat the description?
Pump action power and a removable blank let you go the distance with the blank blaster. Whether you need maximum mobility or enhanced fire control, you can modify your blaster with the removable shoulder stock and add accessories with the tactical rail system. You can even create one of the most epic blank and blank blaster hybrids yet. The battle is yours to win.
Okay, what is this hybrid part?
I got
what is the the blank and blank hybrid? Okay. Can I clarify something, Vile?
Yes.
Are any of those blanks actually replacing like two things, like the name of the blaster and the name of a series, or like the name of, like if they are, can you like separate them as separate blanks? Like I think it's more meaningful if you say like the series like name da da da. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let me actually pull it up real quick. So let's read it out for you one more time.
Okay.
Pump action power and a removable accessory let you go the distance with the series blaster.
Ah.
Whether you need maximum mobility or enhanced fire control, you can modify your blaster with the removable shoulder stock and add accessories with the tactical rail system. You can even create the most epic series and series blaster hybrids yet.
Oh.
The battle is yours to win.
So it's two different series?
Again, I saw this one and I was like, I'm going to do this because of Jolt.
Yeah.
I'm going to do this.
Joel, do you think it's two different series that are being hybridized together? It doesn't seem like it would just be the same thing that they were saying twice. Like, it feels like a, like, modulus kind of thing. Like,
it sounds... I would have said maybe a retaliator, but then it would have said 4-in-1 or something.
Right. Well, because, like, you know, there's the... Recon 2 is... Wait, that's not pump action, it's top slide. What is the pump... Wait, what is even pump action? That's modular.
The Alpha Trooper, Rampage.
Alpha Trooper, Rampage. But we've done... The Rampage, so... You know, we have that removable accessory at the beginning, and then we did find out that there's a stock. So that accessory is something else. So it is not the Rampage, because yeah, that only came with the mag and the stock. And we know there was actually a version, as well as another accessory.
There was a version in Europe that was white that came with a stock, but
Well, I know, but okay,
I don't think that's it.
It's not that, is what I'm trying to say. Wait, what did you just say before that? The Alpha Trooper.
There were versions of the Alpha Trooper that came with a stock. The XD version, which was a mission kit, which is why I'm going to say that's not what this is.
Well, but wait, what
came
did
with
that
a
come
Spectre
with?
Stock. It came with a Spectre stock recolored.
Six round magazine and the stock and nothing else. Okay. Cause it comes with the stock and at least one other accessory.
Yeah.
So how many things are pump action that come with the stock and at least one other accessory? That is not that long of a list.
I don't think it's a list.
But what is it?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of anything at the moment that comes with multiple accessories.
So I will clarify something, because I feel that accessory is a bit kind of open-ended there. That first removable accessory is
yes,
basically for ammo.
Oh.
So Just keep that in mind real quick. Yeah. I don't want to make it so difficult. That first one where it says pump action power and a removable blank is for ammo. But I didn't want to go into detail.
It's for amp, like for holding ammo, or like it's a because I assume you don't mean like the modulus rocket launcher, because that only came with the modulus itself, right? Or no, it came with the tri-strike.
Yeah, that was
which is bolt action.
It's definitely not the tri-strike. That would be three different types of ammo. No,
it's also not pump action, so it doesn't matter.
I'm guessing, my guess is that maybe the pump action is a misdirect.
It gets true. Pump action, like top slide prime, could be called pump action by Hasbro circa 2010 or whatever. All right. Why don't we, I mean, like, I keep thinking about modulus, but if we get like a year, we can clear that out, right? A year,
I'd agree with that.
Are you thinking year or capacity?
I think year.
Year? Okay.
Go for the year, then?
Vile, may we please have the
release year. It was 2011.
Very interesting. So if it's 2011, I think... trying to remember, because I know that I know the Stampede was 2010. I'm trying to remember whether the Alpha Trooper, no, because that wouldn't be it. So what came out in 2011? There was
isn't it like I mean, that's still like End Strike. That's not, we're not even into like Elite yet.
Because like 2011 line, right? Like 2011 releases would have been most of the rebooted Dart Tag line.
Right.
The only one of those that had a removable stock was the Swarm Fire, which is fully automatic, not pump action.
I mean, okay, Vile is telling us that the... What did it describe it as, the accessory as removable? Did it just describe it as removable? Can you read us first, like, sentence again, Vile?
Pump action power and a removable accessory.
Okay.
Let you go the distance.
That could just be a magazine or a drum. So, like, that does put the Raider back on...
No, it doesn't.
The menu. It's pump action, and it comes with a stock, and it comes with rails, and it has a magazine. It has a drum, and if the drum...
We already did the Raider, I'm pretty sure. And it was 2009. Frick.
Oh, you're completely right. We did do the Raider. Well, but it's come out multiple times. Couldn't it be a different version?
Nothing came with an ammo holder. The closest thing would be the Gear Up Raider, which came with a singular Vortex disc as a promotion to get things. Actually, hold up.
Okay, hit me.
Vortex was 2011.
Oh, that's true.
Vortex, the Praxis came with a removable stock.
The Praxis comes with a removable stock and
it's pump action.
And it comes with and I guess the magazine could be the accessory, and it does have tactical rails.
Maybe.
I mean, I remember the first one that I did was Vortex, and the giveaway was the magazine type. Having a removable magazine would remove that giveaway. So the Praxis is viable.
It does. It actually does have a stock that is removable. It could be that the End Strike stock point was what made them consider it a hybrid between End Strike and Vortex, maybe.
Okay.
What, I don't know.
I want to brain check this. What other versions of the Raider are there? There's a Gear Up Raider, right?
There's a Gear Up Raider, and there is a Clear Series Raider.
And there's a Clear Series Raider. Do you have any idea what years those are? Because the Praxis...
Gear Up would have been... I believe midway through 2011, yes, because it would have been building up to, I believe, September 2011, I want to say, when Vortex made its debut.
Yeah. Okay. Because I don't want to, both of those, if there is, if it, like, Gear Up Raider would be distinct from the Raider, right, in the terms of our game.
Well, it comes with the same stuff. The only difference is, like, one piece of ammo.
And then the... But, like, in terms of the things we're looking at, if we're saying that the magazine or drum is the removable accessory, and there's a removable stock and it's pump action, it fits all of the dry criteria that we have from the description.
But it... No, it doesn't, because it doesn't hybrid anything.
Oh, shoot. The hybrid... Oh, God. What does that even... Okay, what could they... Based on the experiences we've had with these stupid descriptions, what could that mean? What could that...
I really
what could
think
they be
that's what they mean with the... I think my guess on this is going to... I'm going to go with the Praxis.
Why? How does the Praxis hybridize with anything?
Because I remember back then, I think they were trying to make a big deal out of how the attachments from your different series could go together. So you could get your Super Soaker one, you could get your End Strike one, and then they transfer that over to Vortex. So maybe what they mean is it can be a hybrid in the fact that you can go slap a Recon stock on it.
So they're just trying to tell you that it's compatible with the parts.
And it does have an End Strike rail on top.
Okay. Would we rather... Is there another question that would help us? I don't know the retail prices of the like they're going to be similar prices, like something like the Praxis or the Recon. Anything that has
I'd go with capacity.
Capacity would tell us a lot. What kind of magazine did the Praxis come with?
10 round magazine.
It was 10?
Yes.
You sure. Okay.
Yes, I'm literally looking at mine right now.
Because if it's a Recon, it's going to be the big old drum. Gear Up came with the big orange drum. I've seen so many of those. Okay. We would like... I think we want the capacity then.
Capacity?
What's the capacity?
Would be 10.
Yeah, it's the Praxis.
All right. Praxis is fine. I'll go with the Praxis.
So you're going to go with the Praxis? That would be correct. And the funniest part is watching the two of you squirm on this one. Where the giveaway was you talking about the Gear Up Raider and the promotional Vortex disc. That was the giveaway point, because that was the only time that Jolt finally found a clue. If you want to listen to it, it says pump action power and a removable 10 disc clip let you go the distance with the Vortex Praxis.
I should have known from Go the Distance. I just realized now.
That should have given it away. Yes, you're right. That you can is the
even,
push on Vortex.
And here's that last part. You can even create one of the most epic End Strike and Vortex Blaster hybrids yet.
I told you.
The battle is yours to win. Yeah, that is what that last part was actually getting into.
Golly. All right. Well,
we got there eventually, Vile.
I love how, like, something about this game where, like, even winning the game is so, like...
It's almost like a defeat, even though you won. You feel so defeated at the end of it.
Oh, my God. All right, well, good job.
I probably would have gotten that better if I wasn't so dead today.
No, it's fine. I mean, that's part of the challenge, right? We're, like, so exhausted by the time we do this.
I know. This is why I have these in my back pocket for this.
Jolt and I both gained 2 points. Grim isn't here. We're going to go ahead and give Grim those points as well. So now it is 19 for me and Grim, 17 for Vile, and 24 for Jolt. Using two lifelines, sort of takes a ding out of your points. But we did it. I'm glad we did it. The capacity, like the year and the capacity, really did help narrow it down. Anyway. Moving on to something completely different. We had two HPA products. So Out of Darts released a video this week or the week before in this news cycle about the Milsig, what's it called? The Mini Box?
Mini Box, yeah.
Which is
Mini Bomb. Just kidding.
Essentially an HPA blaster core. The way I was describing it was it's Flycore, but for HPA.
Yeah.
Where it's all the functional parts of the blaster effectively pre-built, and all you got to do is just add an air source.
Yeah.
And it essentially works with commercially available air sources with a tank that you can get pressurized. And
it's better than the other MilSig product because it doesn't necessarily 100% for sure have to look like a firearm.
Yeah. So
but it had all the same problems. And we can
Well, go take it away.
So yeah, I obviously,
reliability 0%.
Yeah, I looked into it and the issues because I originally was looking at potentially getting an M79. I was like, you know, I'm curious. I'm always just interested in firing things. The problem with the M79 is it had weird feeding issues. It had horrible inaccuracies, usually due to turbulence. This is something that Luke went over on his video. And they made some improvements later on down the line, but you still, it's finicky. HPA is a very, very finicky thing to work with for the foam flinging hobby specifically. And it doesn't mean you can't get one to work, but you will get so far invested both in time and money to really kind of get it working right. And even then there's always a potential of, you know, something kind of going wrong. And in Luke's video with the mini box, it seemed to suffer from the exact same problems. So all of the same problems that the M79 originally had out of the box from, you know, however long ago it was released, the mini box seems to be a clone with the exact same things. It's nice that you can 3D print a shell for whatever you want, or, you know, put it as a hybrid drop-in kit for another blaster, but they couldn't get it to fire on full auto. The included ammo was extremely hard. Luke even had the 50 cal like rubber balls, you know, the ones you can get from Monkey Mods, and he had the included ammo and he pushed down on it. It wouldn't, like, it just did not squish. It looked like,
oh my god, yeah, when I saw that solid. I was like, this is literally just those knockoff rival rounds.
Yeah, it is. It
the
is,
like the it, like headshot reject that
it
are
was
just
even
like
worse
rocks.
It looked even worse than that, and
I would not want to get shot by that. No thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, same. And they when they did the firing demonstrations as well, you could see just how horrific the accuracy was. It was terrible.
To be fair, the Monkey Mods ones are also terrible accuracy because they have they're extremely lightweight. So out of HPA, which already has problems with turbulence, no hop up and all that. Ooh.
Round ammo. We all know round ammo, higher FPS is not going to do well. We see that with Rival. We've seen it with a lot of other things. And with round ammo, any type of spin in any direction is going to cause it to, you know, fly off in a different direction. And, you know, there's a lot of things, but even when you get into darts, that starts to get you the same problems of, you know, potential back pressure issues. So you have to tune for your pressures. You have to tune for your barrel links. You have to tune for scars and all of that stuff. And you know, Luke expressed that, and the same thing, even the comment section expressed a lot of these problems as well, with HPA being banned in a lot of places. Now, not everywhere is banned. Obviously, there are private events and fields and things like that, that it's not a problem, but it is a very, very niche, limited product.
It doesn't help that up until this point, a lot of HPA stuff, there have been, I know there are people who know what they're doing with HPA, but there are also some people who don't.
Yeah,
so,
but I mean, the price
sometimes
tag
it's
on this
easier just to ban the thing entirely to avoid the people who don't know what they're doing and are basically building pipe bombs.
With these, it's these
because
are
most
like
likely the people running the event don't know what to look for.
Yeah, and it can be very it can be a dangerous thing. HPA can always be a dangerous thing. You do need to know what you're doing with. Pressure is not a safe thing to work with. The other issue is that, like, even in this case, Luke explained that the price tag is going to be fairly expensive just for the core. It's like $250 up to $300 per the core. That's not including anything else you have to buy. So this could easily start getting you into the $500, $600, $700, even higher than that, you know, $100 range for this thing, getting it all set up and ready to go. Because you have to get your lines, your tanks, your regulator valves, your you know, again, you have to start kind of tuning and trying to get everything right. If you want to design or have something printed, you then have to get that done. You know, it is, again, it's interesting getting something that could be sort of modular, but those are a lot of pitfalls that people would have to overcome. And it's such a heavy buy-in. That's really difficult to kind of bring it in. You know, and we, you know, this can kind of just lead into the next thing that we had for HPA, you know, with Spectre Armaments, with the Super Core. And that's, again, that's another really interesting thing. And it's been around, and there are a lot of people who, you know, they go between airsoft or paintball, so they do know these systems, but it is still very, very limited and niche communities that even work with them.
Well, I mean, just the fact that they're gathering names to see who's interested so they can do a bulk buy,
yeah,
tells you already, like, yeah, like we're seeing if there's even enough interest,
yes,
to get the things.
Just to keep the price down, because they have to,
yeah,
you know, they're doing machined parts, you know, those are all pressure rated. They, you know,
right.
Like Super Cores are good. Like I'm not going to argue. They are designed very, like, they're really nice. They're super solid for what they are. And again, if you see one that's built, they're incredible to watch. They're just, you know, insane high rates of fire and high FPS and stuff. But again, they're very, very limited. You know, and even then he had to, and even like, you have to look at it. He needed 200 orders and he had to take down a list to see if there was enough interest to even get that many.
Right.
And that is not a lot of product, right? You know, if you look at any of the vendors that have been out there, it doesn't matter, Springer parts or flywheel parts, they could order thousands of those and probably sell all of them. But for somebody to sit there and look at 200 units and wonder if they're even going to sell it, that is a really tough selling point, because there's just not that many people that are either suited to handle that, you know, knowledgeable enough to handle it, or have the capital to really buy into it, because it is very, very pricey to get into. So again, it's an interesting concept, but I don't know if this hobby really is ready for it, because it's just not, it hasn't been designed or I should say fine tuned, right? Because when you get into flywheels, there's or Springers, there's kind of formulas that we can follow. We know how to do this. There's very knowledgeable people available. The prices are all fairly cheap now because it's mass produced. HPA, unfortunately, is going to suffer from that, because all of those pools are just not the same. There's not a huge amount of people that know it or know how to do it safely. There's, you know, it's a heavy, heavy buy-in to get it, to get, you know, even just a very basic setup going. So
looking at the spreadsheet so far, there's about 37 people lined up. One of them is buying 50. I would say with the others that have multiples, it's like a little over 100 units.
Yeah.
So like, could get there.
Yeah,
it could get it there. They're $120 bucks each, you know.
Well, I mean, like, I know Luke carried them at one point for the HPA supplies, but he,
right,
I know he did struggle to sell them, so he may want to put his name on the list. He may not,
right,
you know,
right.
That really depends. So, and if a vendor gets in on that, obviously that's, they can do a bigger order and help, right, push the numbers.
Well, one of the things though, like, who's a vendor going to sell to other than the people already on this list?
Kind of, yeah.
There's so many people buying one who clearly just want to build one.
Right.
Or have a backup for the one they have or something.
Yeah. A lot of, I actually, from going over the list, the people that I saw on there, I'm pretty sure most of them have either built one previously.
Right.
Or have, you know, knowledge to know how to do it. I'm pretty sure most of them have at this point, because again, it's a very, very small portion of the hobby. Again, it's not that it doesn't exist or there's not a place for it. It's just, it's not really there. And it's not something that I think the hobby is really ready for.
I mean, is it better though? You know, we talk about the dangers associated with HPA and not knowing what you're doing. Is it better to have, because like, you could argue that lipos are similar. Lipos are a situation though, like, you know, you measure danger in this way where there's the the degree of potential danger and the likelihood of potential danger.
Yes.
And I guess the difference is, you know, on a lipo, the likelihood is low. It's actually pretty hard to screw up a lipo, but if you do...
What are you talking about? All you have to do is get a pair of scissors and cut both wires at once and you've got a fire.
Even
well,
a puncture.
Nobody's doing that.
Yeah, but
I know someone who's done that. Their name will go unsaid, but I know someone who has done that.
My point is, with a lipo, the likelihood of like, if you're using a lipo the normal way, the likelihood of a problem is very low. But if something does happen, the potential dangers are high. HPA, I would say it's like, they're both of those things are a little more towards the middle. Like, the likelihood is more, and the damage is, like, a little bit less than a lipo, but, like, it could be bad. It depends on whether it's, like, next to your head or not.
Yeah,
when
there's
the tank
a lot
explodes,
of...
It depends on whether you've got a super core or a meth core.
Right.
Yeah, there's a lot of variables, and that's, I think that's the problem, and why it's easier for most, you know, hobbies and or, you know, clubs or whatever to ban them is because... You have to rely on the person who's running it to know that they are running it safely. And that is, you can't always just put faith in these people doing this. With a lipo, it's very easy to tell, right? Is it contained, right? Is it within its battery tray? You're probably going to be fine. And you can even put a lipo alarm on it. You know,
do they
that's
have an
pretty
alarm
much,
on it? Yep.
You know, yeah, you'll be fine. Because I know some of venues where there are events where they'll say, you can't Velcro your lipo onto the side because if it drops and falls or, you know, you hit a bush or a tree or something too hard and it punctures it, you know, it goes up. So that's just a simple thing. And everybody knows, yeah, just make sure it's protected. But with HPA, there is a lot of variables that, again, in kind of like you're saying, if they don't know what to look for, it's easier to ban it because there are just too many things that could go wrong. And if a tank ruptures and it starts to fly, it's a projectile, you know, it can hurt and damage a lot of things. Or if it blows, or if a tank or like a line splits or whatever, like there's a lot of weird little things that can happen, and you have to know what you're looking for and how to do it properly.
Well, and there's something to be said for just the cost barrier to entry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of keeping people out if they're not serious. I don't philosophically like that as a barrier to entry, but it does hypothetically at least keep people safe. There's plenty of people who have more money than sense.
Yes.
But even still, you have to buy it and you have to answer a bunch of questions and figure a bunch of things out
mm-hmm.
before you have a functional thing. So there are, for the time being, I think the barrier to entry is probably appropriate for the danger level.
Yeah.
And then for our final normal topic, we wanted to talk a little bit about what's going on with Reddit. Our Nerf has been an important source of information for the Nerf hobby, or at least an important place for people to gather and ask open questions in a asynchronous discussion format, and one of the most heavily populated places to have those conversations. However, Reddit has decided to charge for the use of its API because the CEO has decided that Elon Musk, of all people, is his primary role model, and that everything Elon does with Twitter, which is constantly on fire and awful, is what should be done with Reddit, so that Reddit can also be constantly on fire and awful. And as a result, many, many Reddit folks have decided to lock down different subreddits. And rNerf is one that is protesting. It's funny because as soon as they locked down rNerf, suddenly all of my notifications were about Pokemon TCG from Reddit. It's the only subreddit that I pay any attention to that didn't go on protest. And so I just get constant notifications of like every post from that subreddit because Reddit's just looking for stuff to send me. Anyway, so rNerf is closed, but they did recently open it up as read-only so that the information is available to people, which I think is a good middle ground so that the resources are available. And then they said just today or yesterday that they are creating alternative communities. What is this site? This other site that's like Reddit alternative?
They call it a Lemmy site. It is, so instead of like R nerf, it's like C/nerf or and C/whatever. It's essentially it's like a discussion board of some kind. It works and operates very similarly to how Reddit works.
So it's a forum.
Yeah, well, it's forums are a little
reject modernity, return to nerf haven.
Actually they did, and that was an interesting part that they also brought up, that in this transition and while they're getting these Lemmy services and sites kind of set up, that they said Nerf Haven, Brit Nerf, and what was the other one?
But they pointed to other communities.
Yeah, they pointed to older. Well, they did say that they are slightly inactive, but you know, these are alternatives for the time being.
And that may change.
Yeah, they might start getting more active again. But what they were kind of explaining in their write up, if anybody hasn't, I suggest just taking a look at it, because they also did have an article about, you know, what is this kind of transition of companies, Reddit being one of them. They also brought in, like, you know, the article they linked had to do with Twitter and things like of that nature, like Amazon and stuff as well. And it was a pretty good little read, and they went down the fact that the hobby used to be resilient. It had multiple places it could go to for information, and while Reddit was really great, it unfortunately became kind of the only place to find information. You know, and basically all these old forum sites and different places sort of became abandoned, and they said that they would much rather see the hobby kind of get back to that resilience and having multiple places where information can be shared. And, you know, I thought that was actually a good take on it, to say that, because it, you know, you shouldn't have that single point of failure, right? There's Facebook groups, but sometimes they're not active. We do have Discords, but sometimes that becomes rather exclusive. And having places like a website, like a forum page, makes it open to the public and open for anybody who does, you know, who's looking online or trying to find information on a particular thing. And yeah, again, while Reddit was great, it started to become that single point of failure. And obviously, since the company and the CEO have taken a very kind of nefarious turn, yeah, they want that to kind of spread back out again, and for the hobby and community to start kind of sharing that information around, and don't put all of our eggs in one basket, essentially, is kind of the take that I got from it.
Well, people haven't taken to the other forums yet, because I just was looking at Nerf Haven. There's a few of the sub forums have posts from like a few days ago. Looking at Brit Nerf,
people are actually posting on there. I'm surprised, because as far as I know, Nerf Haven's been shut down, kind of like you can't make a new account is one of the things with Nerf Haven.
That might be that might be why people aren't adopting it, but you know, there's a Homemade's post from the 26th of June, just a few days ago, and a Nerf Wars post from the 19th of June, but like people are obviously not either not able to make new accounts or just haven't flooded in. Brit Nerf most recent posts are 6 days ago, 7 days ago. The Blaster Hub forums, the freshness on the most recent thing is 6 years and 11 months.
Yeah, they did make a comment about Blaster Hub, saying, you know, obviously while it was more about like news, they did have a forum side to it.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I don't think it's really as well known. And I think that's why they were trying to say, hey, here are some alternatives. If you didn't know, these are great places if you can. And maybe the Nerf Haven might, you know, even if you can't make a new account, there's still a lot of people who have been in this hobby for, you know, years who might have had an old account. Maybe it's time for them to kind of dust it off and start sharing their information back there again. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, I mean, part of the thing too is Discord has just become such a hub for Nerf in a lot of ways. Wallcom server is very busy. Fun is quite busy. Drax server is even pretty active. You know, like there's a lot of places with a lot of discussion going on Nerf. But Discord, by its very nature, is much more fractured because you have so many separate servers, whereas there were so many people using our Nerf. So
With servers, you find frequently that people won't know some Discord servers exist. The main place that you will find people find is Walcom's server, because I believe it's one of the few that's public. I know. Right. I think our Nerf is public. There is an our Nerf Discord server, not necessarily affiliated with the actual subreddit. I don't think.
Our Discord server is public, but we're not trying to be a community hub. Like we love having community on our Discord server, but it's really about making the show and giving people an avenue to contribute to the show and being able to sort of talk to our audience. So. A lot of creators have public Discords, but it doesn't mean that it's a community
it's easy to find
hub
them.
For the whole hobby per se. Another thing, of course, that we want to make sure we mention is, Jolt's mod spotlight has a little bit of a call to action at the end, because our Nerf is one of the biggest places for finding out what people are doing in mods. Like, people post things very consistently there. Whereas the Discords are a little bit less consistent in that regard.
They get buried.
Yeah.
Things get buried a lot. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just don't notice things. And then with Facebook groups, I very rarely look at Facebook.
Yeah.
Because Facebook, not personally a fan.
So if you are a modder, or if you are friends with a bunch of modders, and you're in groups where you're sort of seeing a lot of cool stuff, we really encourage you to join the Discord. Check it out and see what's going on, but also, submit things to the mod spotlight. There is a mod spotlight submission channel,
or even just straight submit things. Just straight up submit your own mods.
Like, submit your own,
go right ahead.
Tell other people, like, hey, like, I think this is really cool. Can I submit this to the show for you?
Like,
or do you want to join?
This week's pick was from our Discord, just straight up from our Discord.
Yeah. And it's really great to have people coming in and being like, hey, I feel like, maybe you did multiple things in a 2-week span or finished multiple projects, but this is the one that you think is like really great. And that's the one you want to submit or whatever. So yeah, definitely please pop in and share your work with us and make submissions. I would love to see us getting a ton of submissions every week, having to choose. I feel like every one, even if there hasn't been like a lot of submissions in a week, has been really, really great. And this week's is no exception. But
yeah,
it'd be great to just
cool
be getting
one.
It would be great to be swimming in submissions and just
I'll start
some weeks
submitting
we,
my
some
own.
Weeks Jolt is and some weeks Jolt isn't.
Yeah, some weeks it's a struggle to find something. Some weeks I have hard time deciding.
Yeah.
I'll submit my own next time, Joel. You'll
you should
not,
do it
not biased at all.
I don't think I can pick you. I think that might be a conflict of interest.
What are you talking about?
It's not like there's a cash prize.
Where's
there's
my
no,
gift
like,
card, Jolt? I want all, my gift card. I want a gift card to Applebee's.
All you get for posting it, all you get for getting your thing selected is a Discord role and your thing selected. It's not like there's there's some kind of like prizing going on or something.
I don't know. It would just feel weird today on the mod spotlight.
No,
I'm giving it to my fellow host.
That's reasonable.
No bias
it.
Here. I say that as I've given it multiple times to my good friend Grim.
That is also true. Grim is a multi-time winner. One last thing today for this. I am starting the tradition of ending each podcast with a little bit of a round robin question, a little bit of a wish list thing. And one of the things on the episode this week is that we're getting a Walcom themed a Walcom signature model, Kirin, which is, of course, in pink, as Walcom likes it, with the Walcom Walrus, the fuzzy Walrus logo. Was it like laser etched or something into the stock? Something like that? Or like into the back of the body of the blaster? Anyway, my question to each of you and to myself is, if you could have any blaster and creator collab, what would it be?
Sniper in drag colors.
Oh my god.
You know what's
just
funny?
Kidding.
I want I want maritime foam super soaker.
Yo, that's not a bad combination at all. That'd be pretty
good.
Okay,
which one though? Which one though? Which super soaker?
Oh, that's tough. He just needs his whole line. He just needs the whole.
I'd buy it.
It just needs a whole maritime foam. Because seriously, maritime, like on itself, even though it says foam, maybe, you know what?
No.
Actually, maritime foam, let's make it one of the super soakers that also fires a dart.
Yes. I was going to say hybrid super soaker Nerf blasters. That would be amazing.
I think that would be a great.
That would be so good. Be a good one. In the like blue and white of his logo.
Yes. Yes. Good. That was the first thing I thought of when I knew this question. I was like, oh, yeah. I've got it. I know what it is. It's going to be this.
You know what I would want? I would want, have you seen these? They're like on Amazon. You'll see these cheap little like 6-round revolvers. They're meant to look like mini guns, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, have handles above them. I want one of those that is branded for Captain Xavier.
Oh, perfect. That would be so good.
Yeah.
That would be so good. It's a lower tier.
Oh no.
Oh my, you went there.
You might say.
KT, well, the actual dad in the group here.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say I would love to see a beret signature version of the snake blaster.
Oh my
yes.
god.
Yes.
Pro snake.
Or actually, no. Beret version of the Gelfire Mythic.
That would also be pretty good. But we already got the Mr. Beast one, so
Mr. Beast.
Yeah.
Pro Snake is still good.
Let's get a beret signature Mr. Beast Gelfire Mythic. It is the Gelfire, it's the Mr. Beast Gelfire Mythic, but it actually just comes with like 6 rival rounds.
Yes.
You have to front load all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just...
But they're rival rounds in the Mr. Beast colors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I could go for that. No, but for real, I love the idea of, if Nerf is finally going to do Pro-Line half-dart blasters, let's get a remake of the Fortnite Snake, or the Roblox Snake shell, but it's actually, Talon compatible, ready to go.
I'd buy that in a heartbeat.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be amazing?
A snake blaster with plastic quality that would actually take the spring load?
So many people would buy that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Stick a real barrel down that snake.
I wanted to short dart mine. Let's actually got a larger plunger tube than a Retaliator. Not quite expanded plunger tube size, but it's larger. The only thing is, like, one of the posts broke off of my plunger tube. I don't trust the plastic quality in there on a higher spring load. And it'd be a nightmare to close the shell, too, because of just how it's built.
I can imagine. I mean, that said, you made the deploy take Kronos internals. I feel like you could.
I mean, like, the shell
else.
Quality, too, feels... Like, I love the blaster. It feels like one of those blasters where if you put 12 kilograms or something in it, it would just explode.
Fair enough.
All right.
Fair enough.
I've got one for you, though. If
you're
going to go
one?
On theme, old school beret logo with the saxophone, but it's just a blowgun. It's a saxophone blowgun. Yes.
I could go for that. I mean,
just to be on brand.
I could build that.
Just to be on brand.
Yeah, that would be good. No, I'm here for it.
I'd build that in a war.
All right. Well, Nerf, you have our requests.
Yeah.
I look forward to having designs on my desk in the morning, and we can go forward from there. We can figure out pricing and inclusions, packaging,
true,
all that kind of stuff. Set up the licensing. I'd love for all those creators to get license payments. I think we're ready to go with that.
Yep.
But until then, I think that's a podcast. I believe that we have done it.
Perfect.
Who has stuff to plug? What's going on?
I'm still building stuff over on Twitch. I stream every Friday and Saturday from 12 to 8 p.m. Pacific time.
So if you're listening to this podcast right now on release time, it is Saturday, and
I'll be
very
going live.
Soon, Vile will be going live if he is not live already. twitch.tv/Vile_mods.
Thank you.
And you can hear me redeem just Fourth. Sounds of Vile talking and confusing everybody in stream.
This man right here, he will literally take excerpts from the podcast as he edits it and redeem them as sound alerts before the podcast even comes out.
Yep.
Oh my god.
It's a good time. I gotta build my points back up though, so.
True.
Jolt, anything going on?
Not really.
Eating hot glue?
Yeah, eating hot glue. I almost forgot about that. Thank you. You are correct. Yeah, I'm eating hot glue. I
got you, Jolt. I got you, Jolt. I got you covered. And I am... Oh, actually, you know what? So today's the 29th, and actually the day that this comes out will be my first day back on writing daily songs. So if you're curious what else I'm up to, check my Discord or watch my YouTube channel. I will be posting a new song that I write every single day for the month of July. That includes every day that I'm working on PNNN. That includes every day that I am doing anything else. I will be writing a song every single day. So come check that out. If you are hearing this on Saturday and you're interested in doing something every day, anything, Jolt actually did a Nerf mod a day. Earlier on,
I did do that once
this year, and it is possible. Some of them were extremely simple, and that's just how you do a thing a day. So if there is anything that you're interested in getting better at and you just need an excuse to do it a lot, reach out to me, find me on the PNNN Discord. I'm doing that over on my Discord. I can guide you there, or you can find the link to it in any of my song videos. And I will be hosting Thing a Day. We're going to do it again in October, and I think I'm actually going to be doing Nerf-related content when I do the October one. So that's what I have going on right now. And otherwise, I think we did it. Feels like a good podcast. Great job, everybody. And y'all have a great... Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening. That's what you're supposed to say at the end of a podcast. You're supposed to thank your listeners. You're supposed to be like, hey... Hey.
Nah, I'm just going to state that I eat hot glue.
That, yeah, okay, that's fine.
On brand.
We'll go with that. We'll stick on brand.